Glory to God. Well, it's certainly good to see you all in the house of the Lord today. Again, welcome to our first-time visitors. This is Streams of Life Ministries. Amen. Glory to God. I don't know if you could sense the presence of God in this place, but I certainly sense the presence of God. Why don't you just lift your hands up towards heaven? And just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. We thank you, Lord God, for those great and mighty things that you have ordained for us to accomplish. Father, we praise you. We adore you. We bless your holy name. We thank you for the wee ones, those little children who have sung your praises today. We thank you, Lord God, for your good hand upon their lives. We thank you, Father God, for the great and mighty future that you have ordained for each and every one of them. We give you praise in this place today. And now, Father, we just submit ourselves to you in anticipation of those things that you're about to do. Come on, give the Lord another clap offering. Glory to God, glory to God. Praise God, praise God. Now, I won't be keeping you long today, but we do have a few things that we'll be going through. But just before I get started, I just want to say to the congregation, Happy Resurrection Day. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you so much. Today I'll be speaking to you on the subject of the power of a resurrected life. Say that with me. The power of a resurrected life. Glory to God. Today we are celebrating our risen Savior. And all over this country, all over this world, there are people that are celebrating, some who are celebrating in knowledge, in knowing the significance of what Jesus has done. And then there are others who it's just been a tradition. And so it's Easter Sunday, so they're in church and they're just going along. But glory to God, I know that in this house, we know the power of this so great a salvation. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. So we're going to talk about the power of a resurrected life today. We have sung many songs about Jesus because it's all about him. And today I'm going to invite you to help me, because what I want to do is I want to lay a foundation. And what I want is I want the ladies to help me on one side, and then I want the gentlemen to help me on the other. Now, I've been trying to figure out who should I make what. What I'm going to do is I want to take us through just a few of the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled while he was up on this earth. And so I want the men to represent the Old Testament. Say the Old Testament, men. Old Testament. Come on, you got to say it deeper than that. Old Testament. Then I want the ladies to say the New Testament. Glory to God. So we're going to go through just an exercise, and I'm going to ask that you work with me on this as we lay this foundation and move forward. Now, we're going to be putting these scriptures on the slide for you, because I know that if I were to ask you to find some of these scriptures, it might pose a little challenge. So we don't want to lose anyone here, so we want you to just go along with us. Amen? The scripture tells us that the Messiah was to be a prophet like Moses. And will my Old Testament saints read that for me, please? All the men?
The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee. Of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken.
Glory to God. Now, this is Moses speaking and writing this, because it says that the Messiah was going to be like him. Now, this was prophesied over 1,400 years before Jesus came on the scene. Now, let's look at the New Testament fulfillment. And the ladies read. Glory to God. Now, the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. And this was prophesied in Micah 5:2. And the Old Testament gentlemen say?
But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, art not far from Judah,
Glory to God. Now this was prophesied over 700 years before Jesus came on the scene. And now the New Testament fulfillment, Matthew 2, 1 through 6. Jump down to 4. Amen. The Messiah was to be born of a virgin. That is Isaiah 7:14 and the Old Testament men.
Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a son. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
And in Matthew 1:18 through 25, my New Testament ladies. Amen. Messiah was to enter Jerusalem in triumph. This was 480 years before. This was prophesied in Zechariah 9, verse 9. And in Matthew 21, we find Messiah was to be rejected by his own people. And the men. And our New Testament fulfillment in Matthew 26. Messiah was to be betrayed by one of his followers, Psalm 41. New Testament fulfillment, Matthew 26. Messiah was to be tried and condemned, Isaiah 53. New Testament fulfillment, Matthew 27. Messiah was to be silent before his accusers. New Testament fulfillment, Matthew 27. And when he was accused of a high priest and his elders, he answered them, Messiah was to be struck and spat upon by his enemies. Isaiah 50.
I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spit.
New Testament fulfillment, Matthew 26. Messiah was to be mocked and taunted. Psalm 22, 7 through 8. New Testament fulfillment, Luke 23. Messiah was to die by crucifixion. Psalm 22.
I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me.
New Testament fulfillment, Mark 15. Messiah was to suffer with criminals and pray for his enemies. Isaiah
53.
New Testament fulfillment, Mark 15. Messiah was to be given vinegar and gall. Psalm 69.
They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink.
New Testament fulfillment, John chapter 19. Others were to cast lots for Messiah's garment. Psalm 22. New Testament fulfillment. Matthew 27. Messiah was to die as sacrifice for sin. Isaiah
53.
New Testament fulfillment, John 1:29. Messiah's bones were not to be broken. Exodus 12:46.
In one house ye shall be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof.
New Testament fulfillment, John 19.
Thank you.
Messiah was to be raised from the dead. Psalm 16. New Testament fulfillment, Matthew 28. Messiah is now at God's right hand, Psalm 110.
The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool.
New Testament fulfillment, Mark 16. Glory to God. Today, we celebrate a risen Savior. Jesus is alive. Come on, put your hands together. Glory to God. That is just a sample of many of the prophecies that Jesus, our Savior, fulfilled. And you and I can rejoice today because this is the Jesus that we preach, who gave himself a ransom for many. Truly, he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, the bright and morning star. He is the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Can somebody give him a clap offering in this house? Glory to God. I want you to know that today, let it be settled. If you have had any doubts, if you've been tossed to and fro, wondering about what should I do with this Jesus, I have given you scriptures. I have used the scriptures to show you that these things were spoken of hundreds of years before Jesus came on the scene. And Jesus came and fulfilled them. You would have a better chance of, being struck by lightning on a bright sunny day three times in the same place. You would have a better chance of probably winning the lottery than for the probability of these things being fulfilled the way they were fulfilled. Jesus came and he did it all for us. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. In John chapter 1, it says, let's read this together. To as many, glory to God, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power. The Greek word there for power is exousia, which is delegated authority. He gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now I want you to know today that we who are born again can rejoice today because we are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. We embrace the finished work of the cross, having the understanding of the divine exchange that took place at Calvary. The songwriter says, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. It was there my burden sold found liberty at Calvary. Can somebody say hallelujah? You have to understand that at Calvary, mercy there was great. That's where God demonstrated his mercy towards us because he judged Jesus in our place. Jesus took every damnable thing that you and I deserved. He took it upon himself and God judged him right there. And in judging him, he showed us mercy. Say, God showed us mercy. Jesus paid it all indeed. He took my sin, past, present, and future, and he gave me his righteousness and holiness. Can you say glory to God?
Praise God. Hallelujah.
You have to understand the power of this. That God judged Jesus. He placed all of his sins upon him. All of our sins upon him, I'm sorry, so that you and I can be free to live in victory every day of our lives. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It doesn't mean that we just live our lives wantonly, but it just means that we can now stand before a holy God without any sense of guilt nor condemnation, knowing that we have been accepted into the Beloved all because of what Jesus did upon the cross. Can you say amen? So he took care of our sin, past, present, and future. For those of you who think you have arrived and you're perfect, I'm sorry, but you will mess up. Look at your neighbor and says, hey, relax. When you mess up, God understands. Glory to God. So your sins, past, present, and future. So now I don't have to worry about, you know, when I fall short, because I do. Sometimes my attitude might not be in the right place. You know, sometimes, you know, you have employees and, you know, they try your faith. And so you're tested. But I have a righteousness consciousness. I'm always looking at the fact that Jesus paid it all for me. And so I can just stand in that place of liberty and I can move forward knowing this one thing, that his blood forever cleanses me from all unrighteousness. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. At Calvary, he took my brokenness and gave me his wholeness. You have to understand that. He took my sickness and he gave me his health. The Bible says, by his stripes, we were healed. Can you say amen? And that's why healing is for the believer today. I want you to know that God is able to heal you because he has already made the preparation for you, the provision for it in Christ our Lord. Can you say amen? He took my shame and my pain and crowned me with glory and with honor. My God, if you are to reflect on where God found you. Now, you didn't find the Lord because he wasn't lost. If you can reflect on when he found you, I just want you, don't have to tell us all the details, but if you can just reflect and remember where you were when he found you, when you were in distress, when you were in, you know, in the gall of bitterness, when you didn't like yourself, when nobody likes you because you didn't like yourself, when you were there and you thought that it was over. Maybe you were strung out on drugs. Maybe there was something going on in your life that you thought, listen, what is this all about? And he stretched forth his hand and he lifted you. The psalmist says, he lifted me out of an horrible pit and he planted my feet upon a rock. Can you say amen? He planted my feet upon a rock. He set me in a sure place and he crowned me with glory and with honor. Glory to God. You have to realize that this is the reality that Jesus has made available to you and I who are believers today. Can you say amen? Amen. He tasted death for me that I would not have to experience being separated from God for eternity. Because that's what death is all about. When the Bible talks of death, it's talking about eternal separation from God. It's not talking about when you transition from this physical body to the next realm. It's talking about eternal separation. Jesus tasted that for us. That's why on the cross when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? For the first time, he could not sense his Father. For the first time, he was separated from his Father. And he felt that pain. My God, why have you forsaken me? He tasted that for us, that we and I would never have to be separated from God. Can you say amen? Amen? The Bible says he gave us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Hallelujah. He took the curse and gave us the blessing. The Bible says that cursed is everyone who hangeth upon a tree. He took the curse that you and I would not have to live under a curse anymore, but that we can live in the power of the blessing of Abraham upon our lives through Christ our Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. This is exciting. If you are excited, give the Lord a clap offering in this house. In Galatians 2:20, go back. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. Today, we who are born again believers live in the power of a resurrected life in Christ our Lord. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Today we are imitators of God the Father, showing forth his praises all the day long. We manifest his nature and character through the inner workings of the Holy Spirit. We are learning and changing and training for reigning. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The whole creation waited for with great expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God. We are the sons of God, empowered to bring forth fruit that remains, called to think the way he thinks and to speak the way he speaks, beholding the end of our faith, or in other words, the manifestation of what we believe and speak. Yes, this distinguishes a true son or daughter, one who believes God and speak according to his will. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I want you to know today that through this resurrected life that we have in Christ, that we have the power within us to speak like our Father spoke this word into existence. And you know, many times people will come to a service like this and, you know, they will say, oh, it was wonderful. They might even decide to, you know, give their heart to the Lord and decide that, you know, listen, I want this Jesus. And then they go into a church and they become confused and they become demoralized. They get to the point where they're like, I don't know. I just don't think I can live this life. But I want to make it very simple for you today, that the born-again experience, the born-again believer, is called to believe God and to speak forth those things that you desire to see in your life. How easy is that? That is the journey that you're on. That is the journey that you're on. So when you leave here today, I want you to meditate on this, that, wow, I am called to believe God and to speak forth his will in the earth. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I want to leave you a little nugget. Whether you recognize it, yes or no, but you live at the level that you speak. You live at the level that you speak. And part of the resurrected life is that you now have an opportunity to change the dynamics of your world. Just like God spoke and said, let there be light, you can now speak and say, hey, listen, devil, get out of my house. Can you say amen? Now you can open up your mouth and begin to speak forth, to frame your world that you want to live in, because that's the power, the resurrected power. The Bible tells us that the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead now quickens our mortal bodies. Can you say amen? And so you have to understand you have that power. And so that's what we're all about here at Streams. We're about you, listen, getting into a place where you can learn the Word of God, where you can learn what to think and what to say so you can change the dynamics of your life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. I want you to get that. So we are in, you know, besides spreading the good news of the kingdom and being true worshipers, we sojourn here, setting in motion things of eternal value, enjoying the true riches of glory, life and life more abundantly. Can you say amen?
Yes.
Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Glory to God. When you sum it all up, we are called, truly called, to a life of believing and speaking. The pathway to living by faith. It is necessary to know what to believe so that you can know what to speak. This is where the church the church comes in. We who are, in the Greek, it's the ekklesia, the called out ones. This is where we are called to come together and to enjoy fellowship one with another and to encourage one another and to be an example to one another so that we can begin to see the manifestation of the things that God has promised for us. Can you say amen? Amen. So today, it's about believing and speaking. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and he is looking over your life, over my life, and he's just looking to see who is going to dare to believe and then dare to speak. Now, it might sound, I want to make sure that I don't lose anyone here, but I want you to understand, when you're going to go to the store, what do you say to your wife? When you're going to go to the store, what do you need? Or, I'm going to the store. Amen? Put you on the spot there a little bit, Tony. You always declare what you're going to do before you do it. Have you ever noticed that? Mm-hmm. Have you ever noticed sometimes when the checkbook doesn't balance? Just notice what you've been saying before. I'm telling you, this is really where the rubber meets the road. The power of a resurrected life is that you now become so conscious of who you are in Christ the Lord, recognizing that you have this power on the inside of you, and that the first order of business for you is that you need to begin to change the way you speak. And when you change the way you speak, little by little, the circumstances will begin to line up. I want to tell you, if you're in this house and you're married and you're having challenges, I want to challenge you to look at what you've been saying to each other. Husbands, you have to understand that your wife has a natural womb and a spiritual womb. And I tell you that she will reproduce anything that you speak into her spiritual womb. And so the Bible tells us, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen? And you have to understand that dynamic, that when you speak forth what you want to see. Not what is that you don't want, but speak what you want to see, and it will be manifest in due time. Can you say amen? Yes. Glory to God. Look at your children. See, I have to bring it. You see, we have to make this gospel practical. We have to make it doable, you know, because otherwise we can come in and say, glory to God, hallelujah, have a wonderful time, and go out there and yet not have the awareness of how to begin to change the circumstances of our lives. You see, Jesus made a difference in people's lives. Can you say amen? Yeah. Jesus made a difference. The Bible says in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about looking good. He went about doing good. Can you say amen? Healing all that were oppressed of the enemy, because what? God was with him. Can you say amen? Yes. So you have to understand that the practical expression of our faith, the practical expression of this so great a salvation, the practical expression of everything that Jesus has done for you and I is right there in our homes, in our communities, on the job, everywhere that we go, we should be showcasing this so great a salvation. Can you say amen? Amen. But it starts with you understanding what God desires for you, believing the word of God and speaking it forth. I want you to know that over the years, I have gone through this transformation myself. I have gone through it and I have experienced it. Now it's not easy from the standpoint that you've been saying the same things. You've just been on automatic, just kind of saying that, well, things, I never get any breaks. Things never work right for me. I don't know what these kids, they're about to kill me. Oh, And you've just been saying these things. And even after you got born again, you've been saying the same things and not recognizing that you have been, you know, building up walls and strongholds in your life, when all you have to do is simply recognize, I now have to believe the word of God and speak forth those things that God has ordained. Can you say amen? Amen. So when the enemy tries to tell you that, hey, you're going to die young, you've got to know what the word of God says for you. Psalm 91, he says, "With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation." So when the thought comes, you've got to know how to speak that forth, because that is the resurrected power that is in you. Can you say amen? When the enemy says that, oh man, don't worry, you're gonna go broke. You've got to know what the word says. The Bible says that I was young and now I'm older. Not old, just older. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Can you say amen? You've got to understand that. You see, when your children are acting up, you've got to understand that now that I have this resurrected power on the inside of me, I've got to say, great is the peace of my children, and they are taught of the Lord. Can you say amen? That's the word of God. That's the promise of God. You've got to declare and decree things because you want to see things change in your life. We serve a risen Savior who is still on the throne of God today, and he means business with any person who diligently seeks him. If you mean business with God, I want you to know he's going to come in and he's going to overwhelm you with his goodness, and he's going to manifest himself to you, and he's going to cause you to see the reality of this so great a salvation. Can you say amen? Yes. Glory to God. You're not getting tired of me, are you?
Come on.
Glory to God. No, don't worry. I'm almost done. I told you I wouldn't keep you long. Glory to God. But I want you to really consider this today. On Resurrection Day, that today you encountered God in this place, that today you have gotten a word that has empowered you to begin to see change in your life, to begin to see change in your life. From today on, things will be different in your life. Can you say amen if you believe that? Because it's about believing and speaking. Believing and speaking. It's not about any of the other things. You know, we get to do a lot of churchy stuff, and that's okay. But at the end of it all, if you're not guarding your heart, the believing place, and filling up your heart with the promises of God, and meditating on the wonderful work, the finished work of the cross, and realize that you've been empowered and that you've been positioned for greatness in the kingdom of God. If you're not doing that, then the devil will steal your lunch. And you won't even realize it. That's where people get bored with their Christianity. That's where people say, that church stuff, I don't want to see that. Because they see people who have not learned the basic principle of, listen, now that you're born again, for as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You are a son or a daughter of the Most High God. And now what differentiates you from everybody else is what you say, which is really coming out of your heart. Because the heart spills over at the mouth. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Let me bring this to a close. I see some of you getting a little weary on me. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Glory to God. It says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed." I want you to know that this scripture speaks expressively of how you enter into the kingdom of God. How do you experience the born-again thing? How do you step into your born-again experience? It's through believing in your heart that Jesus is the Christ, that he paid the awful price for your sin, that he came to this earth. The Bible says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the wicked one. So he came and he destroyed the works of the wicked one. And he was crucified. He was buried. But on the third day, he rose again in resurrection power. And today, because he lived, I can live also. I live also. Can you say amen? But I want you to see this connection here. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. So that means you can't be an undercover Christian. Nobody knows. Your neighbor doesn't know. You know, your co-workers don't know. If thou shalt, you know, it doesn't mean you're going to be a granola bar, you know, fruity, flaky, and nutty. I'm not espousing that at all. But I'm saying that there is a manifestation that comes out of a true born-again experience. Can you say amen? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. I want you to know that your faith, when you believe, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that your faith is accounted unto you for righteousness. For righteousness. For with the heart man believes. You see, Jesus did it all. I already told you. He did it all. You just simply have to believe and receive what he has done for you. Can you say amen? And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You have to understand, you have to confess, because moving forward, you confess. The Bible says in Revelation, they overcame him, the wicked one, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Can you say amen? Because they speak for what God has done for them. But you have to understand that, you know, the rest of your life, you are confessing based on what God has done for you. And that's why I talked about the fact that it's about believing and speaking. It starts there and it ends there. So for the rest of my life, I'm going to believe God. And I'm going to speak forth only those things that he has ordained for me. Amen? How many agree with that? Can you say amen? Give the Lord a clap offering. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, you might be in here today, and you might say, you know, I've been hearing about this Jesus for a long time. And I've been torn, going back and forth. I want to believe. I want to commit my life. You know, but people have turned me off. In fact, I'm in the crew that says, they're all hypocrites. But you're here today, and I trust that you have heard a word from God, that your heart has been moved. Because at the end of the day, it's not about anybody else, but it's about what will you do with Jesus. I made my decision years ago, when I was a teenager. Again, like I said, it's not about perfection. It's about having a heart that is fixed upon him and believe in him. And so you're here, and you say, you know, today, I want to take that step of faith. And I want to invite the Lord Jesus to come into my heart so that I too can operate with this resurrection power, so that I too can have a resurrected life, so that my dreams can be resurrected, so that my heart can be set on ablaze for him. And if you're in this house today and that's you, I'm going to invite you just slip your hand up. I'm going to ask you to be bold. Just slip your hand up. Is there anyone? I see one hand down there. Praise God. Okay, you can put your hand down. Now you might be in here and you say, you know, I am saved. I received Jesus, but I've grown cold, and in fact, I'm lukewarm. I'm at the point where I'm lukewarm, and I really have not been passionately pursuing God. But today, on this resurrection day, I want to turn a new page, and I want to begin to pursue God with all my heart. If that's you and you're here today, just raise your hand if that's you. I see that hand over there. Glory to God. Now, we normally don't do this here at Streams, but I really believe that this is a new day. And I believe that God wants to do something radical in the lives of those who have raised their hand today. So I'm going to invite you. If you raised your hand, I'm just going to invite you to stand. Just stand where you are. Just stand at your seat. Then I'm going to ask you to do one other thing. I'm going to ask you to just come and stand right here. Just make that bold step. Just stand right here for me. Now, while believers are praying, I just want you to stretch your hands towards them. Father, I thank you for the awesome work, O Lord God, that you have manifested in our midst today. Father, I thank you for these two precious daughters that have been bold enough, O Lord God, to step forward and to say unashamedly that they desire you. They desire more of you, O God. They desire to be on fire for you, O God. And Father, I thank you that you are still the God who specializes in showing yourself strong and mighty on the behalf of those who come to you in faith. And so, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for meeting every need in their lives, for touching their heart today, and for causing them, O Lord, my God, to arise in the Spirit and to step out of that place of despondency, to step out of that place of unsurety, and to step into that place, O Lord God, of blessed assurance that you have prepared for all your children. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you for that which you have ordained.